Hey, everybody. Just an update for people who have maybe noticed that we haven't had an episode out in a while. Over the Christmas break, I came down with COVID, and I'm still recovering from that, hence my voice being not great. And Amy's got her own stuff going on. So we are actually taking the month of January off from new recordings. But in the meantime, we thought, well, we actually took a great idea from a longtime listener, Scott, who suggested that it might be worth taking a break in the interest of physical and mental health. And in the meantime, re-releasing some older favorite episodes of ours. So we came up with a few words that we've done over, I guess, years now, which is weird, that we've particularly liked. And I went back and tried to tidy up the audio because it's been a learning process while I was doing this. And yeah. So we have a few little snippets over the next couple of weeks for you. Hello and welcome to Archaeolexy, a working title, but one that we're going to stick with, where we look back at some of our favorite words that we've done while we're taking a short break in January of 2022, for anyone listening back to our listens back. Anyway, today we're going back to episode one, and Amy is talking about serendipity.
Would you like to go first?
Oh, well, I don't see why not. I'm feeling very self-conscious about this because, you know, words are the complicated things. And I don't want to be like out-clevered by you. Because it is something I care about.
That is not something anyone needs to worry about.
You know, I think when you're a kid, being clever is generally seen as a good thing. And then when you become a teenager, it is the exact opposite of that. Mm. And so as an adult, I've had to kind of readjust to how I feel about being clever and kind of showing off. Also, coming back to my countrymen and women, there is no greater sin in Scottish culture than to be a bam. There's a good word for you to start off.
Let's start
a
with that.
A bum is basically a show-off, someone who is full of themselves.
Oh, okay.
And bear in mind that the definition of showing off in Scotland includes things like wearing colourful clothing. You know, so the bar's set pretty low
right.
for bamhood.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm gonna start off by citing my sources, something again which I often have to get my students to do, and because they are citizens of Web 2.0, they look at me as if I've actually just grown a trunk and sprayed them with water.
Right.
So I'm gonna go straight to the Wikipedia.
Okay.
And the reason that I have to tell you that I'm going straight to Wikipedia is because in a neat little turn of fortune, the word that I'm gonna talk to you about, I actually found it by accident.
Okay.
I knew the word, I'd heard it many times, and I thought I knew what it meant, but actually I didn't know exactly what it meant until I found it by accident on
really?
Wikipedia. And the word is serendipity.
Okay.
So I'm going to read you a little bit of Wikipedia just to be properly on the money with my definition.
Okay.
It says, serendipity means a, quote, fortunate happenstance or, quote, pleasant surprise. It was coined by Horace Walpole in 1754. In a letter he wrote to a friend, Walpole explained an unexpected discovery he had made by reference to a Persian fairy tale, The Three Princes of Serendip. The princes, he told his correspondent, were always making discoveries by accidents and sagacity of things which they were not in quest of. And this is the thing that I didn't realise. I didn't realise that serendipity was to find something else when you were looking for another thing.
I thought it was just luck. I thought it was just...
Yeah.
Something that happens that you didn't expect, but not necessarily
that. Well, exactly.
Okay.
So I found this quite beautiful because I lose things all the damn time. So as a result of that, quite often my strategy for looking for stuff is to go, it'll turn up. It's fine. It's good. It's somewhere. So I actually experience serendipity quite a lot in my day-to-day life because I'm always looking for something. And while not particularly... It's not a quality that makes me easy to live with, but constantly having most of my things not where I expect them to be does mean that, like customer service in Scotland, you get the occasional unexpected serendipitous surprise when you're looking for, say, your keys, and instead you find that lip balm that you couldn't leave the house without three days ago. So anyway, to continue my tale of serendipity, today I thought I'm going to talk about serendipity with Ryan tonight, definitely, because it's one of my favourite words. I love the derivation of it. I'd better go back and check out the article about the three princes of Serendip. And serendipitously discovered that the last time I looked this up, there was a tiny little stub article about the three princes of Serendip.
Right.
And now there's a really sort of comprehensive, much more thorough article, which I didn't know was there.
Really?
So, interesting facts. I just, you know, more and more things that I discovered by accident as it was going on. It really is quite beautiful. First of all, I discovered that Serendip is the Persian and Urdu name for Sri Lanka.
So, oh.
I assumed that such a, you know, exotic sounding Arabian Nights kind of place was probably fictional, but it is in fact a real place, Serendip. And the three princes of Serendip, the most kind of well-known story, the one that's really been translated into English, apparently it's hard to find the others, is one of the lost camel. And the three princes are educated very well. Their father wants them to be, you know, model princes. He spends a lot of time and effort in educating them, but he's worried that they're kind of book educated but not worldly educated, so he sends them out to kind of make their fortune in this very fairy tale-y kind of way. And what they do is they identify clues, and by the clues that they see, they decide that there has been a camel and that it is lame, blind in one eye, missing a tooth, carrying a pregnant woman and carrying honey on one side and butter on the other. So, of course, this very, very exact description instantly makes everyone suspicious, because how could they possibly know all this stuff? So right. they're taken to the emperor, and he is basically going to punish them because they couldn't possibly know all this stuff. And then they explain all their deductions and, you know, their lives are spared, they're richly rewarded, all that kind of thing. But the next unexpected thing that I found out was that this is really the first sort of incidence that Wikipedia knows about, certainly, of what I like to think of as the Sherlock Holmes effect.
Okay. The Sherlock Holmes effect.
Yeah. So, you know, Sherlock Holmes meets someone for the first time and is able to tell them all these facts about themselves, about their personality, about their lives.
Right.
And without fail, people go, whoa, how do you know that? You couldn't possibly know that stuff. So it's reckoned that, well, Voltaire wrote a novel called Zadig, whereby he adapted the three princes of Serendip and these very qualities. And it's believed that Poe was probably inspired by Zadig when he created C. Auguste Dupin in The Murders in the Rue Morgue.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise, it's pretty logical that Arthur Conan Doyle's very rational, deductive detective may also have been influenced by this idea.
Wow.
That essentially springs from the princes of Serendip, who and found then, other things than what they were looking for.
That's amazing. And then from Sherlock Holmes, obviously, the entire genre of the genius TV antihero, including things like House or Monk,
yes,
or The Mentalist, or any of these guys, Columbo, mm-hmm, even, or, you know, the
absolutely
really hyper aware, always looking for anything that might show up even when they're not supposed to be looking for it type of guys, which is, so really, you have discovered the origins of some really super TV shows.
Well, I like to think so. Basically, there's nothing that the word serendipity can't bring you.
That's amazing. Wow.
The other thing, just as an aside, I have a friend who once described House. House is a show I very much love, not just because of delicious, delicious Hugh Laurie and his
right
amazing piano playing skills.
Yes.
Just because, you know, it's just a great show. But my friend described House as, he said, every episode's like a medical-based episode of Scooby-Doo.
Oh, I like that.
I love it. And it's absolutely accurate, isn't it?
Yeah.
There is a mystery. It is solved, usually in the same predictable way, and at the end, everyone is satisfied.
But instead of being the, you know, old man Withers looking like this ghost, it's always like lupus looking like this other disease. So there's,
you know,
even the big reveal where it's like the diagnosis that everyone else thought it was, and House pulls off the mask like Fred would pull off the mask of the ghost and
yeah,
find
yeah
the old man Withers from the amusement park. It's like, oh, look, it was this all along.
And my friend Scott always says in House, why don't they just test for lupus straight away? Because it's always bloody lupus.
It just always is.
Yeah, and if it's not lupus, then it's something that you can find out by testing for lupus and discovering something else serendipitously.
Yeah. See, now that's an intricate tapestry. That's perfect. That is a cohesive unit of information that we have just
thank you.
Uncovered. That's amazing. Wow.